Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back, Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington, presented by EMP 180 Weight Loss, the standard for weight loss in the D.C. area. Because it works, visit EMP180.com and get empowered. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Jason Bishop and Johnny Cake Sawville. EB on vacay this week in Florida for his son's lacrosse tournament and a little fun in the sun. Coming up at 7:45, give you a chance to win tickets to Nationals Mets on 106.7 The Fan Day, which is Saturday. You got opening day on Thursday. Ooh, this is a fun time of year. Opening day on Thursday for the Washington Nationals. It's Scherzer against DeGrom.
Mm-hmm.
Monster matchup. And then you've got the monster appearance, Cakes Night, Willie's Brew and Q at 4 o'clock.
Correct.
After the game, you join us, what, 2-3 blocks from the park?
Couldn't be any closer. It couldn't be closer.
Two or three blocks from the park. Willie's Brew and Q, come join us. We're going to be hanging out from 4 to 6 on Thursday. You got the 106.7 The Fan Day on Saturday. I don't know the exact details. I was with Charlie Slows yesterday, and he said a couple of the junkies are going to be on the air. We're doing that on the air bit.
Oh, really? Hold on. During the game broadcast?
I don't know if it's during the game, if it's pregame. It was news to me when he said somehow we're involved with him.
Okay.
I have no idea. I just figured CK is going to tell us at some point. Usually somebody throws out the first pitch. We yell play ball. We have a section. It's a good time. 106.7 The Fan Day.
Here's one of the most important details, if not the most important, about that date.
Mm.
It's going to be 73 degrees.
And nice.
10% chance of rain on Saturday.
And I do think the first 20,000 fans get the 106.7 The Fan lanyard where they can listen to the game and listen to Charlie Slows and our pal Dave Jagler when they're at the stadium.
That's it right there. You can listen
to
the
mini broadcast. Radio.
There you go. Your Nats Park radio. For all you radio insiders.
I just hope it's not 35 degrees on Thursday morning on the field like it was last year when we did the show from the field for opening day.
And that's Thursday morning. Yeah, so we got a lot going on. All right, before we get to the Colt McCoy story, let's go to Bart in Herndon. He's been on hold. I think he's got a bad beat story.
What's up, Bart? You're on with the Junks. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Love the show.
Thank you.
Yep, no problem. Not a bad beat, although Lurch, I'm sorry to hear about your Duke loss.
Oh, that was Friday
was embarrassing.
Bad.
Missed dunk by Alex O'Connell. Yeah, yeah. I think the line was 26.5, so it was pretty, close to the line, too.
Oh, yeah, people got bung-jobbed on that.
My wife looked at me at the end of the game, and she was like, wow, that was really close to the line. But anyways, I'm a huge Duke fan. Obviously, I'm pretty biased here. I thought it was a great game yesterday, but I actually thought Duke was on the receiving end of a lot of bad calls or non-calls for that matter. I can think of a couple times where Zion drove the lane and just got hammered by Taco, and it seemed like they didn't want to foul the kid out. And then aside from that, you look at the missed shot by UCF that didn't hit the rim. I know they said it was inconclusive, and right. I guess I can live with that. But if you look at the replay, Taco's actually holding Javon Delorier. They could have called a fifth foul there. So, you know, there was bad calls, I think, on both sides. But this whole notion that Duke kind of got all the breaks is a little, I think, far-fetched.
No, I would agree with you. That ball did not look like it hit the rim. They gave it to him. They ended up scoring on that play. I think that put him up 4.
Yes.
I would agree with you there. We didn't even talk about that. That's a good point.
I don't think it comes down to the calls. Like I said, look, you can break down each of the plays in the last 2 minutes, and you can make an argument.
Right.
Maybe you should call an offensive foul on Zion. I have no problem with them swallowing the whistle. And you can say maybe they should have made a call on Barrett. I also have no problem with swallowing the whistle. Blockout. To me, UCF had chances to win the game, convert an alley-oop, block out on Zion's mystery, block out on Zion's missed free throw, and you're a winner.
Yeah, I mean, look, Duke was very aggressive there, obviously late because they were down three. They were very aggressive to the ball and on the boards.
And I think I'm consistent when it comes to...
And it worked out for them. Yeah. There were calls on both ends, but those last three, especially the one hook and hold on Delorier that should have been called, that was just egregious to me.
I'm consistent on coaching strategy, too. I foul up three,
mm-hmm.
and I put them on the free throw line. So let's say before Zion drives the ball to the basket, you foul Zion out of the three-point line. You just... hug him, and then he gets two free throws, and he's obviously he missed a free throw. He's got to convert two free throws to bring you within one.
I was watching.
Like, foul, with 15 seconds left, they're just dribbling around the three-point line, kind of grasping.
They were. They didn't know what to do.
And then they get the ball to Zion.
They were almost in panic mode.
And it took him a few seconds, by the way, and then he's like, I guess I'm just going to put my head down and just drive to the basket.
Yep.
Yep.
I was watching it with my 14-year-old son. He was kind of getting excited about the prospect of Duke getting eliminated.
Right.
He's a very casual hoops fan. I said, don't get your hopes up.
Right.
Okay? Because this is the exact sort of scenario where Duke is going to win this game. I'm not sure how it's going to happen, but don't get your hopes up that Central Florida is going to advance because Duke is going to win. And sure enough, 5 to 7 minutes later, Duke's celebrating at midcourt, exhaling deeply because they dodged a bullet. And Duke advances.
All right, but admit that when Duke misses the shot and Central Florida gets the ball and they're up four and the kid's driving down the left sideline.
Yeah.
And before he throws the alley-oop pass, you're thinking, you know what? Duke's probably going down.
Well, at that point, before he throws it, I'm thinking, hold on to the ball. You're up four. But then I see the guy streaking towards the rim wide open. And then I'm like, dude, throw the alley-oop.
I'll say this.
He's going to convert the
alley-oop. I think there's a good chance, but... until it's under a minute, 4 points to me is no big deal.
Oh, yeah, it's gone in an instant.
Because let's say they use the entire clock. You can make an argument, pull the ball back out. I saw Clark Kellogg and Charles Barkley arguing about it, right? Charles Barkley was, yeah, I'm going to argue against it because it didn't work. Mm-hmm. And Clark Kellogg's like, you need to stay aggressive. You're playing against the top seed overall in the tournament. You're going for the jugular. And so you can make an argument on both sides. But let's say they decide to pull it out. They use the whole clock and they miss a shot. Still a minute 20 left.
Yeah.
Or maybe even a minute 30 left, depending on how many seconds are left on the shot clock. That's plenty of time down four because then Duke comes back. I mean, first of all, you can hit threes, but even if you just hit a bucket and get a 2-pointer,
yeah, but
I mean, you're right. Probably the odds increase, but it doesn't put you away.
You just never know because if you pull it back out, maybe you get fouled. Maybe you do make the shot. You know, that's a bad pass. It's a low percentage pass, in my opinion. And now you're going right back to the other side, and Duke hits the three. I think if B.J. Taylor and Aubrey Dawkins are handling the ball, one of them probably either scores or gets fouled, and they're really good free throw shooters. I don't know. Easier said than done, but I think that if he pulls that ball out and they drain some more time off the clock, I think they win.
All right, so switching gears to the Redskins here for a moment. If you haven't seen the video or the picture, you can go to thefandc.com, thesportsjunkies.com, facebook.com/thejunks. Tons of places to see it. But Colt McCoy was seen in crutches over the weekend. And that's somewhat problematic to people when you have Alex Smith, who I don't have. Has anybody seen a picture of Alex Smith without the contraption he has on his leg?
I haven't seen him since he went out to was he at the Wizards game? Like a month ago, roughly,
mm-hmm.
where we saw that the external fixator.
Correct.
On his
leg. He has a huge contraption, which most people think is probably the end of his career. Like, he's never going to make it back. Definitely not this season. That's just kind of what people are speculating. And that's why the Redskins made a move and traded for Case Keenum. But Case Keenum is supposed to be in a competition with Colt McCoy. Colt McCoy, at the end of last season, broke his leg, but then supposedly was going to be back potentially for either the second-to-last game or the last game of the season. In fact, we heard that he was running. And then all of a sudden, the next thing people see is a picture of him or video of him calling like a race. I don't know if it was a NASCAR race.
IndyCar race in Austin.
Right. And he's in crutches.
He's on crutches. He's not in crutches. Yeah. He's on crutches.
In crutches sounds...
He's using crutches.
Crutches. I don't know. I can't explain it.
Now, I think they said...
This is my explanation. It still hurts.
They've said that it's another procedure, that he's only going to be on the crutches for a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe true.
He should be ready for training camp. I don't know why anybody would panic. First of all, why would you panic? It's Colt McCoy.
Right.
I mean, why would anybody get that worked up about Colt McCoy being in, on, or using crutches, whatever, however you want to frame it.
Because he might be the starter.
I would bet against it, but okay. I mean, there's a chance.
He might be. But again, this is the second offseason in a row where he had the opportunity to be a starter, and the front office said, well, we're going to bring in somebody else. We're going to bring in Alex Smith last year and Case Keenum this year. So how confident are they in him as a starter? I would vouch, not very.
Case Keenum would have to absolutely poop the bed in training camp and in the preseason for Colts to start week one.
Colt knows the offense better. Supposedly, Gruden says open competition.
I know what he says, but, I mean, do you really believe that?
I'd think Case is better.
Yeah, slightly.
I mean, two seasons ago, Case was really good.
Is he that much better?
No, I mean, I said slightly.
I would say it's like 60-40 Case over Colt at this point.
All right, well, I'm going with the 60.
Okay, well, let's say they don't make a trade for Josh Rosen, and let's say
they're not doing that.
They're not happy with what they have with the number 15th pick. They're not able to trade up for Dwayne Haskins, whatever. Like, this could be it. It could be Case and Colt. Your backup.
All right, well, Colt's not going to be on crutches.
If you're saying that Colt is your backup, he's we know he's injury prone. Mm-hmm. He can't even stay off crutches in the offseason.
Well, that's exactly why I think they're going to go into the season with a third quarterback. Because they were caught with their pants down last season, and you see how that turned out. Bringing in Mark Sanchez and Josh Johnson.
Well, the third quarterback might be someone they draft.
True. Or somebody you acquire in a trade. They are not going to go into the season with just two quarterbacks, and one of them being a guy who's always banged up in Colt McCoy. That's impossible. I'd be willing to almost willing to bet on it.
I don't think it's a big deal that Colt McCoy's on crutches March 22nd.
No.
Now, if he's on crutches on September 22nd, right. That's a big story.
Yeah, that's a problem.
But he's got months to recover. He'll be fine.
Remember, a little bit later in the show, Chris Knocke is going to join us, the voice of the Terps. We'll talk about that heartbreaking loss to LSU. He will join us at 8. Craig Hoffman, our Redskins beat reporter, he'll join us at 9. And we have the voice for the Hokies on the IMG Sports Network, John Lazor, at 9:20, all right here on the Junkies.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, remember, coming up at 7:45, going to give you a chance to win some Nationals tickets. It's 106.7 The Fan Day coming up on Saturday.
It is.
First 20,000 fans, I believe, get the 106.7 The Fan radio lanyards.
Yep, your NatSpark radio right here. Listen to Charlie and Dave in the stadium as the play is going on the field. There you have it.
Hanging out with Charlie Slows yesterday. And after the appearance with Charlie and Dan Kolko, it was just me and Funny Danny, mm-hmm. Danny Ruye.
You guys did a Q&A?
We did Q&A for an hour, mm-hmm. and then the big boys left.
Okay.
The Nats insiders.
Yes.
It was just me and Danny, and there was a trivia contest. And they were ball-busting questions. Oh, I couldn't believe it.
Hold on. You didn't come up with the questions.
No. We were given a list. I was a reader.
The prizes, tickets?
Prize were opening day tickets.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Well, you got to earn those.
Yeah, sure.
Autograph base. But, I mean, it was like off the top of your head. Like, how many Nats playoff games, how many playoff games have the Nats been in? It's just hard to like, come
head.
Up with
how
that.
Many, yeah. How many games have they played in since they've been in Washington?
Who was the opening day starter when Nats Park opened up?
Hold on. When Nats Park opened up, the opening day starter was?
Levon Hernandez.
No, that was RFK.
Oh, Nats Park. I'm sorry.
Opening day starter.
What year was that?
I think it's 2008.
I'm going to go with.
11 years ago?
Jordan Zimmerman.
No, I believe, I've already forgotten. It was either Odalis Perez or John Lannon, who, of course, Jason said would never be in the Hall of Fame.
That is your guy. He's your
buddy.
I mean,
those are tough type of questions.
Those are tough.
Well, for opening day tickets, you got to earn them. You got to know what you got to know Nats
trivia. There were
several
rounds, like, who was the manager of the 1924 Senators that won the World Series?
You're kidding, right?
No, that was one of the questions.
Who
hit the first home run for the Nationals?
Were people getting these right?
I have no idea because I was not part of the scoring. There would be scoring, then the score sheets would come back to us, and then we'd do another round.
I mean, if I was in the crowd.
Are you a big fan of, we'll play the missing link game. Termel blank hammer.
MC?
Termell Sledge. You don't remember him hitting home runs for the Nationals?
By the way,
no, I don't.
By the way, Bucky Harris was the manager of the 1924 Senators.
Bucky. Bucky.
Anyway, those were the type of ball-busting questions that we were asking. It was like, how many home runs did Juan Soto hit last year? Come on, quick. Don't Google it.
38.
Again, I've probably forgotten. Yeah, what did it, like 22? 22, maybe?
I was going to say 26, but.
Yeah, 38 seemed like a very high number.
I mean, when it rolled off the whole year. But, I mean, it was a good time. We were hanging out there at the Georgetown waterfront. And so, anyway, we're going to do some Nats trivia. Maybe not quite as hard for the Nats tickets.
It's not going to be easy.
106.7 The Fan Day. That's coming up at 7:45. Couple things.
It's not going to be easy, by the way.
No, it won't be.
I think I'm going to have to wear my Junkies Nats jersey to 106.7 The Fan Day. Why wouldn't I?
By the way, what was the...
Why don't you borrow Rob's?
What was the most asked question or biggest concern of the fans that were there? When you guys were fielding questions,
all the cues came from Danny and I, so we didn't really had like a talk for an hour.
Oh, so the crowd wasn't asking questions. I got it.
They could have been involved. I think I threw that out there, but nobody like came up to the microphone, so it was just us like chatting.
Yeah, stage
they
fright.
Were too busy eating nachos.
Wow, nachos are delicious. Was Drab T-shirt in the crowd?
He does
love some nachos. He's a big fan.
He was not.
Yeah.
Okay. No, it was a good time. And again, 7:45, I'll give you a chance to win those tickets. For Saturday's game. So,
by the way, I think Max Scherzer in his latest spring training outing, 7 innings pitched, 12 Ks.
Ooh, of course.
I was a little surprised at the 7 innings. I mean, I know they're pushing it each start,
ramping up for the regular season.
But he must have been rolling. I didn't see any of the game.
Although, you know, one of the things that we talked about with Charlie Slows and Dan Colco yesterday was you kind of need Scherzer and Strasburg and even Corbin to go longer innings because you don't expect that from Sanchez and Hellickson. So the relievers are going to get taxed during the Sanchez and Hellickson starts, middle relievers, your closers, and all that stuff. So you want more innings from your studs.
I thought I saw Hellickson was going to be in the bullpen. Did they announce?
Maybe at the beginning of the year, there's a lot of off days.
Yeah,
at the beginning of the year, they're doing some manipulation, but he will be the number five starter.
So when they get to the full schedule, he'll
be the five
starter.
Joe Ross down. They reassigned him.
Yeah, I saw that.
Fetty's down, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the 4-5 right now are Sanchez and then
Hellickson.
You just mentioned Hellickson. Yeah.
By the way, Noah Syndergaard was really happy with the Mets when he found out that they're going to take a 3-hour bus trip from Port St. Lucie to Sarasota.
Did he get salty?
Oh, so bitter. Then they're going to fly to Syracuse, not to play a game, just to work out in the Carrier Dome.
Okay.
I don't know. I guess they're throwing a bone to their AAA affiliate in Syracuse.
Right.
And
he's not happy about that either.
Oh, he was
Is he
bitter.
A little bit of a diva?
No, I mean, he had a point. I mean, to take a 3-hour bus trip and then fly to Syracuse instead of going back. And you know, his point was, let's get to New York. Let's chill out and rest a little bit. Get ready for opening day because they got to be here opening day on Thursday. He didn't want to take a 3-hour bus trip and then fly to Syracuse not to play a game. So he was bitter. On this show, we call it lick. He was very lick.
Yes, he was. Oh, boo-hoo. You have to take a 3-hour bus ride. Boo-hoo.
I'm sure that's fun. You want to take a 3-hour bus ride today?
Probably not.
I know you don't.
I know what he really doesn't want to do is go on a cruise ship.
Oh, of course I don't.
I've been on a cruise ship. I had a great time. I'm a proponent of cruises. Any endorsements out there, I'm happy
right,
to do
You're the guy.
For cruise ships. I had a fantastic time. I think I gained 12 pounds in like a 7-day cruise to the Caribbean and hit amazing places. But the video of the Viking Sky cruise ship.
Yeah, the Kirk Cousins Sky.
A bit concerning about future cruise ship trips. 450 people had to be airlifted off of the cruise ship.
Now, when you say airlifted, does that mean like they lower the basket down out of the copter and people
yeah, the helicopter.
Helicopter.
1300.
That should take forever.
Take helicopters, months. Cakes.
1,300 were evacuated total.
Yes. So there was 1,373 passengers.
Put the passenger in the basket!
On the Viking Ocean cruise. I mean,
how many man hours does that take? That's got to take forever.
So I don't know. I'm familiar with Caribbean cruises, not Norwegian cruises.
Yeah.
My guess is the water was very cold. They said it was around 45 degrees. Choppy waters, and you see the video.
I guess they were choppy.
It almost basically looks like the cruise ship is about to go down, right?
I mean, the ship is basically like listing on its side. Looks like it's about to just fall into the ocean.
Time tables, being, chairs, everything just going right across the deck.
I mean, there was one video I saw where it completely tilts. Stuff, furniture sliding all over the place.
On tilt, like Jason at the Charlestown Casino.
Like the ceiling tiles are falling down. I mean, it's a full-on disaster. I mean, those people have to get a full refund, right? And then the cruise ship, they'll throw in like, oh, you'll get 50% off your next cruise. Who would ever go on a cruise again after that sort of experience?
Although you may have the thought, like the people that survive a plane crash.
Yeah.
What are the odds to get another plane crash? Wow. So what are the odds you have another problematic cruise? So you should be golden.
So you're telling me the people that landed on the Hudson with Sully, all of a sudden they were butt-sized to go out and start flying again because they hit a one in a billion shot?
I'm not saying that they are, but, you know, like, due theory, they're due good flights.
You would think so. You would assume that's the case.
The waves were 26 feet high.
Mm. Jeez. That's nuts.
Imagine boogie boarding that.
Laird Hamilton was out there.
Yeah, Laird Hamilton was towing people their surfboards out off of the cruise ship.
Yeah, generally you don't want tugboats to be involved with your cruise ship.
I would be pooing my pants if I was on that.
Yeah, I would guess you would.
I mean, I can't believe. See, this is another reason why I'll never go on.
Everybody's in life vests. I mean, sounds like a fun vacation.
Look, I mean, the boats, it's flooding. There's water everywhere. I'm sure the water's warm.
Yeah, but how often have you been on a helicopter? That might be a first. You do a cruise ship and a helicopter airlift.
So do all these people get their money back? What do they do?
Have to. I would think you definitely get a refund.
They lose so much cash.
Oh, just so much.
And then they're going to sue.
Yeah, I'm sure some people will.
People sue for emotional distress.
Don't they have radar? Don't they
injuries.
Know that there's rough seas ahead?
Well, the problem was the engine started cutting out. They had engine failure. So that. I guess if the engines don't fail, they can cut through the choppy seas. But when all the engines just decide, you know what, we're going to stop working, then it's trouble.
Then it's just tossing it around.
Yeah, then it's the ship can't do anything. It can't go anywhere. Can't move.
Well, engines shouldn't fail.
I agree. I agree with you.
That should never happen.
Here's how it never happens to you, though. You don't get on one of those death boats.
Correct.
Which JP apparently loves them and can't wait to have the engines cut out and the norovirus to spread all over all of the decks. He loves it.
Cakes, I went on one, woke up, boom, I was in the Virgin Islands.
Yeah, look.
Got to explore the Virgin Islands, went back on, had a nice dinner. Believe it or not, really nice dinners there. Woke up, boom, I was on another island. Can't remember the islands I went to. St. Martin's, let's say. No, I went to St. Martin. St. Martin. Boom, went to sleep. Boom, I'm in San Juan. I mean, it was a good time.
I don't need to see I don't need to see 100 islands in 4 days.
No.
I'm fine with being on one.
I think if you've been to one tropical island, you've basically been to every single one. Cold drinks.
You know, that's what Cake says because he hasn't been exposed many places.
I'm with you on that.
And yet when he went to Aruba, for a poker tournament, he came back raving about Aruba.
I loved it. But right. But now that I've been
but
to
if
Aruba,
you open your eyes, maybe if you went to Turks and Caicos, you might be like, this is amazing.
I'm a world traveler. I've been to Puerto Rico, Jamaica, and Aruba. And you know what
about
they all
every
are?
15 years
You know
apart.
What all of them are? The exact same.
So
palm trees, trade winds, sunburns, fat hurtings, all the same. They're all the same. If I go to the Bahamas, it's going to look exactly the same as Aruba, and looks exactly the same as Bermuda, where JP tried to run up 10K on the AT&T account because he was roaming in Bermuda like a big dog.
Oh, yeah. Almost
back
blew
in the
deal.
Day. That's a big radio insider.
Radio
throwback.
Insider.
All the tropical islands are exactly the same.
But I saved the Bermuda deal, Cakes.
You did.
See, you're overlooking that.
I don't need to go to every single tropical island. I just don't.
Okay. Anyway, I'm a proponent of cruises.
You love them.
Fun time. Really good experience. You got casinos on the cruise ship. You got great restaurants. You can work out. You got pool. You got all that stuff. And then you get off and you can experience a different island. And you go snorkeling. You do whatever you want.
Oh, you can experience a different island. You can walk through the tourist traps at every single port of call.
It's not necessarily like that.
Locals shoving their merch in your face.
No, thank you.
It's not necessarily like that.
Go out and explore the island. Go to this overpriced jewelry store. They have homemade trinkets at this store.
That's for
that
the
doesn't
rooms
look anything
and
like
noobs
the last
cakes.
The last spot that I hit.
You don't have to do that.
By the way, a Norway cruise has to be the 16 seed of cruises, right? Why would you want to go Scandinavia?
I don't know.
Some people say it's beautiful. You get to see, what do they call those things? Fjords?
Fjords. Fjords.
Right.
It's basically a cliff. I've seen cliffs before. Right.
Why don't you ask Natalie Holloway if she likes Aruba? What do you think her answer would be?
I'm guessing she didn't. She didn't have the same sort of experience.
I love when you do that. Like, do you love this country? Do you love America?
That's a great. Sometimes I don't.
Okay. Well, you
too many potholes.
You should love America, and there are murders here too.
Way too many potholes in America.
Like, do we just say
too much Zion coverage? I mean, I love America, but too much Zion.
You know what? The tax is too high.
Cakes loves California. There are murders there too.
Certainly are.
So I mean, you're Natalie Holloway. You can do that. Just for a minute, just to change topics for just a second. Quick. Happy birthday. It's my daughter. Turns two today. Isabella.
Happy birthday.
We had a Peppa Pig party over the weekend.
Very good.
I don't want to say the specific place, but you know how this is. We've all had kids. Those places where they run around for a little while and they put you in a room.
Sure.
And then you do the birthday cake there. And so they do the tumbling. They do all that stuff.
I know
and
exactly
all the kids
what
run
you're
around.
Talking about. Yes.
They run around underneath the parachute. Mm-hmm. They go on the balance beam. They do all that stuff. It's a tip question. We often have tip questions on the show.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to say the name of the place, and it's a fantastic place. We're members of the place. $400 for the party. Seemed reasonable. We had, between 10 to 15 kids were there, and
right.
all the parents and all that stuff, and it worked out. So I go to leave the tip. There were three girls that helped out.
Okay.
My thought was $20 per person. $60.
I think that is more than enough.
I think it is more than enough. In fact, I asked my brother who was there.
It's fine.
And I said, what would you leave these ladies? And he goes, I don't know, $10 a person? 30, right? So I said 60. Then my wife said that I was squeaking it.
Really?
She said I was squeaking it. And then somebody said, there was another woman there, another mom, and she was like, well, what do you think? And she's like, I always heard 20%. So 20% is 80.
Right.
So I ended up leaving 80. And then my wife, after the party, said, I think I'm going to do something else for Miss whatever her name is.
Right. Over and above the 80?
I was like, that's gratuitous.
$80? It's gratuitous. 20% makes sense at a restaurant. For people working at a birthday party place, they shouldn't get 20%. That is way over the top.
So I agree.
60 was plenty.
She wants to do more. And then I was like, I think I need to put my foot down. What are you doing?
60. 30's a little bit nubs. Your brother was trying to nub them.
He's a little nubs.
Your brother's trying to nub them a little bit. 60, more than enough.
Were they doing the exact same thing that a restaurant server would do? Were they taking food orders and coming and delivering the food?
No, so the first, 45 minutes to an hour, it's an hour and a half birthday party for a two-year-old, and a bunch of two-year-olds running around. They kind of guide the kids in activities. There's circle time. They sing songs. They do all that type of stuff.
Oh, so they do a lot of stuff.
They do that stuff. And then you move over, and we set up the cake and all that type of stuff. But they kind of, I guess they clean up.
Yeah, but they're getting paid by
they
the
clean
hour
because
to do all,
they clean up
all that
because,
nonsense with the two-year-old.
Because we have
they're
to
not
leave.
Making $3 an hour.
They're probably making 12. Their salary.
Or 15.
Yeah. Because then we leave, and they got another party in a half an hour.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you were fine. 60 was fine. The other 20, you're not going to get it back now. It's just gone.
No.
But yeah, your brother was trying to nub them. You were fine. Your wife's going above and beyond.
And she probably still will.
I'm sure it was a great party.
It was a great party. But I thought, that's a lot of money just for a tip.
It's a lot. Yeah.
Right?
Now I'm feeling like I nubbed it because I have to thank my friends, my new friends at Brew Belly, a spot in the O-Town.
Nice.
Which has been open for about a year now.
Right, but you just stopped by for the first time?
I've seen it a billion times. My only issue with it before yesterday was the parking lot is small. So it's hard to find a parking spot. This is wildly popular. Everybody goes there. Went and, to avoid a bridal shower at my in-law's house. My father-in-law is like, let's go to Brew Belly and bring some of the guys, and we'll go hang out. Had some beer.
Hang out with the fellas.
Hang out with the fellas. And it turns out my man Dave, who works at Brew Belly, big Junks listener, gave me a silly hero bill.
Nice.
Hero bill.
Oh, then you felt like a big dog with the crew.
But I only tipped 50 for all of us, which I think is a
so you tipped.
I tipped, yeah.
But you got the hero bill. Shouldn't the other people tip?
Yeah, but I just felt
your father-in-law.
I was going to take the bullet for the whole thing. So then I just felt like I was escaping with a $50 tip.
True.
I feel like I should tip the bullet more.
No, I think that's good.
It's pretty solid. Pretty good.
Because, I mean, I don't know what your bill would have been.
I will be going back. So thank you to everybody at Brew Belly.
What's it by?
It's right on the corner of Georgia and 108. Right in the heart of the bustling
Georgia.
O-Town. Georgia.
By the way, that's the way Cakes pronounces it, Georgia.
I don't know how you want me to pronounce it.
Right. Georgia.
Georgia.
You can't do it.
Georgia. Georgia.
That's better. But usually you'll say it. It's just in casual conversation.
Yeah.
You pucker your lips like, Georgia. I don't know why you do that.
I'll just call it Kirby Smart Avenue. Guy who can't beat Nick Saban Avenue.
All right, coming up next, your chance to win tickets to 106.7 The Fan Day. That is Nats Mets coming up on Saturday. Call in now at 800-636-1067.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan, live on NBC Sports Washington. You want to follow along on TV? Chris Nockey, voice of the Terps, joins us at 8. Craig Hoffman, a Redskins beat reporter at 9. He's in Arizona for the owners' meetings. So we'll get the latest from him. And John Lazor, the voice of Virginia Tech at 9:20. Tech advances to the Sweet 16. They'll take on Duke right here in D.C.
That's right.
It's going to be fun.
As ZB called them, the Zion games.
Yes, exactly.
You love the Zion hype, but we were pimping that last week when we were giving away tickets to the games here, the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight games last week. Today, we're giving away tickets to Nationals Mets. Before we get to the game, yesterday I went to Fontina Grill in the evening. It's one of my favorite spots to go to. Grabbed a pizza and met a couple of listeners. And one of the guys, it's just kind of awkward sometimes. You know, he started asking me about the show. I don't think he even listens to the show that often, mm-hmm. if he even listens at all. Like the guy who was next to him at the bar, he was a listener. But the guy that begged for a shout out, mm-hmm. Juan from Fontina Grill, here's your shout out. It was weird because he wanted he wanted to be mentioned on the air.
But he doesn't listen, but he's not going to hear it.
But yeah. He also asked me what station we were on.
Oh, you know what? Not shout-out worthy.
He would have got zippy shout-out from me.
Not shout-out worthy. Sorry.
But I felt like I owed it to him because we were talking about, you know, he was asking me about he likes the Giants and Eli Manning and
you
all this stuff.
You owed it to him. You owe him
well, there
zippy.
It is. Okay, well, it's done. Yeah. All right, let's punch up our first contestant. We're doing Nats trivia. You have to answer two questions correctly to win the tickets to 106.7 The Fan Day, which is going to be awesome. It is on Saturday.
I like that Jason farmed out his questions to Lucky.
Because Lucky's going to the game today.
Very good.
Exhibition game.
Yeah. Gosh, Luckin'
By the way, you can get your tickets at thefandc.com/fanday to join us. Of course, you get that specially priced ticket. It's all courtesy of the Nationals. Details at thefandc.com/contest. It is Nats Mets on Saturday for 106.7 The Fan Day. You show up, you get your lanyard, mm-hmm. you can listen to the broadcast if you want.
Hang out with us in section 106, watch the game. It'll be a good day. It'll be fun.
Yeah, it's always fun.
Let's go to Scott in Damascus.
Hey, what's up, guys?
All right, Scott, we're just going to go around the room here. Question number one, where did Max Scherzer go to school? College.
I have no clue. Oklahoma.
Ooh, close.
Not a bad guess.
He used to be in the
He's a Mizzou guy.
Mizzou.
I mean, come on, everybody knows that.
All right.
Baseball Cakes definitely
Next
knows
question
that.
For Lurch. Go to John in Edgewater on line two.
John in Edgewater.
What's going on, John?
What's up, John?
How are you, John? Hey, John, how many total playoff wins do the Washington Nationals have?
Four total.
Oh, it's...
Anybody?
I think they've played in 18 games.
I counted 17. I counted 19.
Yeah, 18 or 19 games, so I'm going to give them 8 wins.
Lost 3-2, 3-2, 3-1, and 3-2. That would be 7.
Oh, 7.
Yep.
Gotcha. All right, let's go to David in Gaithersburg on line 3. What's up, David?
Good. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
All right, here we go.
Within 1,000, either way, I need Nationals Park capacity.
43,500.
Wow, that's
46.
You're high, my friend.
6-5.
That's kind of a ball.
You're aiming high, too.
Kind of a ball buster.
Within 1,000 either way?
Still kind of a ball buster.
You could have gone 40,339 up to 42,339 because it's 41,339.
Right. Gotcha. All right, who's up next?
They couldn't add the one seat to make 40.
Nope. Apparently they couldn't. Ran out of room. Let's go to Jeff in Richmond. What's up, Jeff?
What's up?
Hey, Jeff. You know what? This is softball. What number does Ryan Zimmerman wear?
29?
He's number 11.
Yep.
All right. We continue Nationals trivia. 4 tickets to 106.7 The Fan Day coming up on Saturday.
Let's go to Keith in Laurel.
Keith,
up for you, morning, Jason.
Morning, boys.
Kiefer. Hey, Kiefer, how many no-hitters have Nationals pitchers thrown?
Three.
That was going to be my guess. One down, one to go.
Nailed it.
Right, because 1 from Zimmerman, 2 from Scherzer.
Correct.
All right. This is for the dub. This is for the win, Keith. The Nats' first road game this season is April 4th in this city. Name the city. You win.
Philly.
Wrong.
Sorry, Keith.
They open it in New York on the road, not against
Philly.
So they
open up here with New York and on the road in New York.
Correct.
Gotcha.
Philly's coming in, though, early in the season.
Yeah,
it's better, though.
It sounds like there's an invading horde of Phillies fans.
The first matchup
for
Bryce Harper is not going to be Max Scherzer. It's going to be Anibal Sanchez.
It's okay. It'll be nice if he strikes him out, too. It's fine.
All right, who's up next?
Let's go to Joe in Chantilly.
What's up? Good morning, junkies.
All right, Joe. Name the last 4 Nationals managers.
Oh, my God. Davey Johnson.
That's easy.
What's that guy's name? I don't know, man. I'm an Orioles fan.
You're poopy.
I mean, you got Davey Johnson. To me, that was the toughest. You go in reverse. You had Davey Martinez, who replaced Dusty.
Dusty. Yep.
Dusty replaced Matt Williams.
Matt Williams, the greatest manager in history.
Who took over for Davey Johnson.
Yeah.
Who was a great Junkies guest. And I knew it at the time. He would never, ever appear on the show once he was done.
He's hanging out on the beach in Florida. Why would he ever want to come on this idiotic show?
I guarantee you he's teeing it up, right? He's on the second tee box.
He is.
All right, who's up? Nats trivia.
Let's go to Chris in Winchester.
Christopher.
Yes.
3 players have hit for the cycle as a Washington National. Trey Turner is one of them. I'll give you that. He's the current player who's done it. Give me one of the other 2 players who has hit for a cycle.
Hendricks, maybe?
No chance. I'm going to guess Soto might have done it last year. I don't know.
Nope. I said Trey Turner was the current Nat who's done it.
Oh, bad listening.
Christian Guzman and Brad Wilkerson.
Are these Josh Luckenball questions? They are ball busters.
That one was.
Yeah, Josh, why are you making the questions so hard?
Let's see if we can get a winner. That's trivia. Come on, Cakes, let's tee them up.
I'll tee them up. This is Where Are They From segment of my questions.
All right.
You can either guess yourself or you can lean on Jason, who knows where everybody's from.
Not really.
Where's Michael A. Taylor from? Where's Joe?
He's looking it up.
Joe's going to Bish. You know where Michael A. Taylor is?
What did he say?
Michael A. Taylor hail from?
I believe he's from South Florida. I'll say he's from Sarasota, Florida.
I think Florida works.
Florida works if that's correct. Do you want to go with Jason or are you going to freelance, Joe?
Hello?
Joe.
Joe can't play.
He's done. He can't quite grasp the concept of being on air.
Let's go to Mike in Hillsboro. Same question for you, Mike.
Mike, where is Michael Taylor from?
I'm going to go with Scorchy Talls on this one.
You're going Florida.
Correct. Not all from right. Sarasota, but from Fort Lauderdale, but that's close enough.
All right, for the win.
And they're the same. I mean, Fort Lauderdale and Sarasota, they're the same.
For the win, I think Lauderdale's the pair of tickets to the Nationals-Mets game for 106.7 The Fan Day come Hook up on Saturday, March 30th. I'm going to say plus or minus 2 years. Give me the collective age of Victor Robles and Juan Soto, two of their outfielders. So you add Victor Robles' age and Juan Soto's age, and I'm going to give you a range of 2 years.
You should be able to nail this.
41.
Exactly correct. Silly. Congrats.
You're a winner. You get a pair of tickets to watch your Washington Nationals take on New York for 106.7 The Fan Day at Nats Park on March 30th. 106.7 The Fan wants you to take you out to the ballgame with a specially priced ticket that includes a 16-ounce beer. Get your tickets today at thefandc.com/fanday, courtesy of the Washington Nationals. So we will see you there.
All right, coming up next, we're going to get back into the NCAA tournament. Chris Nockey covers the Terps on the Terps Radio Network. We'll get his reaction on the game and talk about the Sweet 16. Who's left? It's mostly chalk, mostly the favorites. We'll get into that next here on the Junkies.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.